Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, where you meet the artists. This is Jazz Queen in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mike Reynolds in D.C. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, sir. Just dealing with all this rain we got going on, but other than that, it's going pretty good.
All right. Well, I wish you guys had sent some of that our way. We're still in 90-degree weather, almost 100-degree weather here in mid-August. So hopefully it'll start cooling down for us pretty soon, pretty soon. Welcome to the chat room, Boney fan Carol, Joe from Germany. Welcome, Joe. Haven't seen you in a while. Cheryl and Andrew, welcome. If you'd like to join those in the chat room, please go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com. Click on the TSJ Radio Show page and then the Play Chat button underneath the Schiltz and Patrick Yandel Show. You can also call in and speak to the artist, and we encourage you to do so on 646-716-5485. Our first artist is saxophonist Schiltz. He is working on a brand new CD called Going Underground. And just before we came on the air, he's mixing it as well, so hopefully we'll hear a little bit of that. We will be playing some music from his current CD, Jigsaw, and he's also re-releasing some music from his first CD, See What Happens. Schiltz, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you. Thanks so much for inviting me on.
Well, thank you for coming on. We're grateful to have you on. So, first of all, I want to talk about this re-releasing of some of your music from your first CD, See What Happens. When is this going to happen?
Well, as soon as I've finished on the new CD and I can have like 2 or 3 days out of the studio because I'm getting stir crazy in here, then I'm gonna. Uh-huh. It's all ready to go. I've just got to basically literally upload it. But I've acquired the rights back to the first album, See What Happens, and it's never before been available as a digital download. So it's going to be it will be available on iTunes and Amazon and all those sort of digital stores, and also and I'll be re-releasing it to sell at concerts as well. So, it was one of those albums that came out. Everyone that managed to get a copy really enjoyed it, but it was only a small print, and then the record company that had it at the time went bust, and so it sort of disappeared off the radar. So I'm going to bring it back out because a lot of people have asked me, where can I get this track from and what album's this track on, and so I thought it'd be a good opportunity for me to do that on my new record label.
Wow, congratulations, first of all, that you were able to, get the rights to it and get it back, so congratulations to you for that.
Mm.
Mike, you have the CD, don't you?
Yes, I actually do. I love the CD, See What Happens. And actually, on this one, you're going to be featuring new musicians on this one, and new mixes, right?
No.
On the See What Happens on Atoms, you're not going to feature new musicians and everything?
Sorry, no. Well, I did start to do some remixes as well. But then, as I acquired the rights back, I thought, well, I might as well just release it in its original state. But as things go on, I mean, I do plan in the future, maybe in a year or 2 years' time, to do instead of doing like a best of album and bringing licensing old tracks. I'm actually thinking of doing a best of album, but re-recording all the tunes that I put on a best of album, but with new musicians and rearranging them. So that's something in the future,
Okay. All right. So now let's talk about Going Underground. This new CD, it was scheduled to be released this month, but Shields wanted to work on it some more to make sure that it is perfect. He is in the process of mixing it as we speak, and it will be released on September 14th, I believe it is.
Around that date, hopefully, yes. Fingers crossed.
Okay. All right. So tell us about Going Underground.
Well, it's a new project. I've written with some new writers that I've not written with before, and some old favourites, friends of mine, Bill Steinway, who's actually collaborated on the last two CDs, and he's on this one with me as well. I think there's one or two songs that he's worked on, but I've also written with two other new guys that I've been working with through the Was Not Was band. So Randy Jacobs, who's a very well-known smooth jazz guitarist that works in Dave Cozzi's band and many of other people, mm-hmm. but him and a guy called John Guillotine, who's a great keyboard player from the Los Angeles area. So we've been doing some stuff together, and it's turned out extremely funky. So I'm really happy about it, and but the tracks are very long tracks. There's nothing. I think the shortest track is about 5.5 minutes.
Really?
So it's you know, I'm letting the solos stretch out. They're not just like, you know, 8-bar solos. They go on and things progress. There's changes of key. There's also there's different time signatures in there. It's not a traditional smooth jazz album. It's more of a contemporary jazz funk. I've sort of gone back to the roots of the stuff that I used to listen to growing up. So, like the sort of Crusaders, early Grover Washington Jr. stuff, you know, early Dave Sanborn stuff. So I've tried to bring in this. And although we didn't record the album live in the studio, a lot of the instruments were recorded live, in the respect that, you know, the tracks sound like they were. It's just been fortunate it's come together like it sounded like it was recorded in a studio. So I'm so excited about it and really happy. There's some good stuff on there. There's a little bit of Latin, some, as I said, some funk stuff. There's some like Earth, Wind and Fire influenced material on there. So I think it's a little bit different, but I think the people that are fans to my music, I think they're going to enjoy it.
Mm. Well, unfortunately, we do not have any of the music from the new CD to play. Because as I said, he's in the process of mixing it now. But as soon as that CD drops, Shields, we definitely would like to have you back on and do like an online listening party.
Well, that'd be nice. Yeah, I've got some, I should mention there's a lot of guests. I've got Rick Braun, his guest in, Nick Colleone, Brian Simpson, Mark Antoine, Ricky Peterson. So there's some good faces on there as well. And as I say, they're all stretching out and they're showing their chops as well, which is great.
Okay. And speaking of Mark Antoine, I have a question from the chat room. Cheryl would like to know, how did you hook up with Mark on this new CD?
Well, we've actually been doing some shows together, Mark, Brian Simpson and myself. We started doing some earlier in the summer, and I think we may have one or two left to do later in the fall. And we were just put together as a little package, and it sort of gelled really nicely. And I think the European connection there, Mark and I, we hadn't worked together very much in the past, and we'd only sort of bumped into each other at festivals and gigs now. So it was nice to actually get to know him and to work with him, and we hit it off, became good friends. And when I had a project, you know, this project's coming up, and I started writing a track which had a sort of Brazilian flavor to it, and I thought, well, it needs that acoustic guitar on, and I thought, well, who better than to join me on this? And I approached Mark, and then I thought, well, the logical thing, as the three of us have been working together, let me invite Brian as well. So I had both of them play solos and feature on this particular track, which is called 5 o'clock in Rio, and it's got like a Sergio Mendes sort of Black Eyed Peas sort of vibe to it. So and it's turned out great. So that was nice to work with them. And then it's something that, you know, if these gigs continue, it's something we'll be able to pull out live and do together.
Okay, Joe from Germany would like to know, why did you move to the U.S. like so many European jazz artists, and was the economic situation in Europe really so bad for this genre?
Absolutely, that's it. He's just answered his own question, really. For the last 15 or even maybe 20 years, I've been touring in the U.S. I was with the Brand New Heavies for 7 years, Jamiroquai for a year, and then I started with the Down to the Bone thing, and that was like 11 years, and it was literally 90% of my work was in the US. I was still doing other stuff in England, but that was more like I was working with Queen and I was working with other sort of rock groups and visiting, and funny enough, visiting artists from the US were booking me to tour with them. So in around Europe. So it really, the big connection for me was becoming the US. And I did want, always at the back, you know, nestling in the back of my mind, I wanted to sort of break into a solo career. And it's so very difficult to do that when you're living in England and the majority of that genre is based in the US. It just seemed like a logical move. And, you know, and as Joe pointed out, you know, the economic stability in Europe, it was getting a little bit dodgy. And, you know, lots of clubs were closing in England. Lots of, you know, record companies were closing and we, you know, record stores and things like that. It seemed like a downward spiral. And I wanted, let's face it, I wanted a bit of sunshine, so we decided to move to California and get a tan because, you know, it was 40 years of England's weather sort of taking its toll. So, and you know, it was just a nice move for the family. We've all settled in really well, and, you know, this is home for the moment.
And have you been back to perform?
I have, but not only with the band Was Not Was. I went back 2 years ago to perform in London to do some TV shows, and we did a few festivals and that. Unfortunately, not as I haven't been back as Schiltz, but I am going to be appearing in Germany, Joe, in September the 25th or 24th in Augsburg at the jazz festival over there.
So I'll
be there along with Rick Braun and Joyce Cooling, Chuck Loeb. I think, I'm not sure if there's any more artists to be added, but I'll certainly be there. I think it's the 25th is when I'm playing,
okay,
on Saturday, the 25th of September, that is.
All right.
If it's not too far a trip, then I'd, you know, come up and say hi.
Yeah.
He just posted in the chat room that he would be there.
Oh, right, splendid. Well, then we shall have a nice drop of German beer together, I'm sure. I'm looking forward to that.
Now, so you mentioned Jamiroquai and the Brand New Heavies. Now, you tour with a lot of groups and a lot of people that have a nice sound to it. Now, how has working with these artists helped you form your sound?
I think it was... For me, those two particular gigs were just like a blessing for me. They were, I mean, it was like the mold was created for me to just jump into those bands. It was the style of music I was into. I really used to, you know, the love, you know, growing up in the sort of 70s and 80s when I was sort of learning my saxophone, my craft. You know, my main influences were for the soul and stuff were like Earth, Wind & Fire and the Commodores and Brass Construction. So any sort of R&B soul bands that had horn sections, and then to end up in a like the acid jazz movement that came through London and Europe, to be in sort of like the two primary top bands of that era, and be, you know, in that horn section vibe, it was a dream. I really enjoyed touring, and you know, they were great musicians, great band, great music. So if I hadn't have been in the band, I would have been out buying the albums and listening to it anyway. So it was just an absolute dream come true. Pardon the pun, for that was a Brandy Heavy song, but you know, it was great. And so obviously, when in my own writing, I tend to go for those sort of melodic. I try and get good melodic hooks into my music, and you know, songs that have got sort of like a melodic flavour to them, and that sort of style. It's very upbeat. I don't tend to do many sort of ballads. Slow ballads on my records, and certainly on this one there aren't any, but it's got a bit of a punch to it, and that little bit of that acid jazz flavor.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, well, we're going to listen to some music from the Head Bopping CD. First, I want to welcome Warner from Germany to the chat room. Welcome, Warner. Thanks for hanging out, coming over. So she'll sent me a song called Look What Happens from the Head Bopping CD. So tell me about this CD and the song.
Well, funny enough, it was because obviously, like I said, my first CD was called See What Happens, and I planned to call the second album Look What's Happened. And then, you know, on for the third album was going to be called I Told You This Would Happen, and the fourth album was going to be called Don't Ever Let That Happen Again. But it sort of got, we sort of, the record company didn't think it, they didn't see the humour behind it at the time. And so we settled on Head Bopping for the name of this album. But it, I was very fortunate that I was the first artist to be signed at the time to Rick Braun and Richard Elliott's label, Artisan. And this was the first album that they put out that wasn't their own. And, you know, it was a great privilege for me to work with Rick on this, who co-produced it with me. And Rick's a great, family friend. He's a godfather to my daughter. So we're a very close family, and I love him to bits. And it was just great to work with Rick and really get to know each other and to work on this album together. So, you know, pretty much... You know, Rick really brought out the essence of the album and just turned my demos and my writing into something really had some vibrance to it. And he brought in some amazing musicians on the album. We had Jeff Lorber and Ricky Lawson. It was just like an all-star studded cast for me. I was like in awe of all these people that I was working with. So it sort of came out amazing at the end, and look what's happened. It was the first track off the CD, and as I say, it features Rick as well. He's playing on trumpet, and we just had an amazing amount of fun with it.
All right, this is Look What's Happened. Thank you. That was Look What's Happened from Schilt's Head Bopping CD. And Schilt, I want to let you know that the chat room are commenting on your two kids. You posted their picture on Facebook?
From yesterday, the Long Beach Jazz Festival. Yeah, the photographers, or, you know, my kids, I always try and take them to any venue that, you know, we possibly can. And Long Beach is a lovely one to go to, you know, a nice outdoor festival. And you know, what can I say? They're great-looking kids, so the photographers always like to throw them in there and get a picture, and they just steal the limelight from me, so I'm very happy for that. So, but, yeah, I just thought, well, I'll put one up there. They're beautiful kids, and I'm very proud of them.
And that's exactly what they're saying in the chat room, that your son is the spitting image of you. And they are beautiful children. That's
yeah,
exactly
and you know, my daughter is a spitting image of her mum. So we're very lucky. They're great kids.
All right. I wanted to know, since you moved to the U.S., what was your first concert here in the U.S.? What was that experience like for you?
After we moved here.
Yes.
Well, after we moved here. All right. Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I mean, it just felt like a usual day at the office, because, as I said, I've been touring over here for, you know, 15 years prior to actually moving here. So, you know, I can't even remember what my first gig or my first solo gig here. To be honest with you, I can't remember what it was, but I think possibly one of the first concerts would have still been with Down to the Bone, because I was still playing with Down to the Bone for like the first 4 years that we lived here. So it was, as I say, just a regular gig, regular feeling. But now that I'm doing more, you know, higher profile shows solo, it's great. It's a great feeling, and you know, I'm able to work with some incredible musicians. I mean, that's one thing. That there is an abundance of here, especially, you know, across the entire America. I mean, I have a Los Angeles-based group of musicians, but also Florida and New York and Chicago and Cleveland, and you know, pretty much, you know, a lot of the areas are covered, and the talent is definitely out there. And I'm very lucky that I've gained so many new friends and everything, because that was one of the difficulties, was, you know, leaving London, was obviously leaving family is a big wrench, but for me as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, I had a huge group of very, very close, you know, musicians. We're very close-knit sort of community, and I mean, I think we have a real bond together, obviously, through the music, and so, you know, it was like leaving an enormous family for me, you know, but we've settled in well, and as I say, and obviously, with the technology, it's easier to keep in touch nowadays, so it's not too bad. And but I do miss London, and I do miss my friends. But as I say, our friends now here in the US, they're like our family, so we're very lucky.
Right. Yes.
Now, Schultz, a lot of people, you know, Down to the Bone has a tremendous fan base, and with you going solo and everything now. What were some of the challenges that you faced in trying to get your name, you know, out there? Because people still recognize you as being a part of Down to the Bone, as being the lead sax man. But now that you're solo, what are some of the challenges that you face, you know, trying to get your name out there and everything, and get people to recognize you versus Down to the Bone?
Okay. Well, leaving the Down to the Bone thing for me, it was a huge decision. You know, it wasn't one that I just decided overnight. It really was something that I pondered over for a long time. It just got to the point, because for, you know, having formed, I was the person that formed the band. I mean, obviously at the request of the record company and the production company at the time, you know, they asked me to form a band. But I had complete reins over the band, and it was, you know, it was my project, as far as, you know, I played somebody else's music, and I kept it to the style of how they wanted to do it, and I kept the essence of what they wanted to achieve on their records. You know, I tried to portray that through the live side, but obviously we took it to a whole new level, and we expanded on things. And yeah, I mean, after 11 years, you do become the face of something. But at the same time, you know, I think I've got a personality enough that, you know, I can carry it off now on stage, and people are starting to not disassociate with me with Down to Bone. I think they'll never do that, but I think that, you know, that Schiltz has become a name on its own now, and people are starting to recognise it, especially now, you know, with the fourth album coming out. You know, it's just going to reinforce that you know, I am my own person and my own style.
Person.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would never want them to disassociate me with Down to the Bone, because obviously that's still an ongoing project, and, you know, I obviously wish them, everyone involved with it, all the best. But it just was a time for me where I felt I was doing 90% of the work and getting zero credit for it. So I thought, well, I need to be putting all that effort and that time into my own stuff and build on that. And I have an amazing agent now, Steve Butler, who's just been incredible, and he's building me up, and it seems funny to sort of say, you know, I feel like a brand new artist because I've been doing this professionally for 30 years, but it's almost like I had to jump off the ladder. It was like snakes and ladders. I slid down and I'm starting up again. But it's a slow building process. But I believe, you know, I've still got plenty of time to share with everybody, you know, my talents and my music. And there's plenty of room out there for everyone. So, and it's a bit, as I said, big family, and we all sort of muck in and help each other out. So I'm just looking forward to sort of, like, you know, building on this solo career and achieving that.
And when we talked to Steve, he spoke very highly of you.
Well, I pay him enough. He should do.
Oh, man, it's too funny.
No, I think we're on the same wavelength, Mr. Butler and I. And I'll say, young, he's only a young lad. And it's amazing what he's, and he's you know, he's good at his job, and he has a great group of artists. So, you know, and we're very lucky that, you know, it's one of those groups where we can all mix and match together and play, and everyone gets on, and it's credit to Steve, really. That he runs a good setup, but he's a good lad.
Yes, I agree. Okay, I want to get back to some music. From the first CD, See What Happens, Your Place or Mine. Tell me about this one.
From the first album, Your Place or Mine. This whole album was a collaboration with a very dear friend of mine back in England called Mick Wilson. And at the time, it was during the early days of working with the Down to the Bone project, and there was an opportunity for me to record a CD, and they were going to put it out on their record label. So I jumped at the opportunity, but the catch was, well, you only have a month in which to do it. So, and we had no material. So it was literally, I phoned up my good friend Mick and said, look, you know, he had a recording studio. I said, look, you know, do you want to write and produce an album with me? I said, but we don't have long. And he said, sure. Anyway, we started work on a Monday morning, and literally 4 weeks later, the album was written, recorded, produced, mixed, bang, done. And this was one of the tracks on there that seemed to be a favorite and actually did quite well on the radio. And, and as it's the ballad, and there's a lady with a very sexy voice who I've used a lot throughout, and she actually has made an appearance on every album so far. I don't know her name, but anyway, so, and it just seemed one of those, it almost sounded like it was the romantic side of me, so we titled it Your Place or Mine, as if it was like, you know, two people mm-hmm. met in a nice, or a club or something, and it, who knows?
Okay. All right, this is from Schiltz's first CD, See What Happens. This is called Your Place or Mine.
Do it.
Oh, I love that. Love that. From Shilt's first CD, See What Happens, that was Your Place or Mine. Love that. Let me welcome to the chat room A Smooth Jazz Affair, Cynthia. Sirius wants to know from Germany. Sirius wants to know. And we have a guest also listening in from Canada. So welcome all to the show. Thank you for joining us. Shilt's, I have a question for you. Sorry about that, Shilt's.
Yes.
Okay, I have a question for you. Warner would like to know, in your opinion, what is the greatest benefit, artistically speaking, of being in the States versus here, other than what you've already mentioned?
I think the ability really to get the music out there, it seems to be a lot easier. Obviously, being, I don't know about how Germany is at the moment, but certainly in England, for a time we lost our Jazz FM went off the airwaves for like quite a few years, and it was very difficult for artists to get their music played on the radio. This is going back some years now, and before really the internet radio thing really sort of took off, which is, and I have to say the internet radio is really, you know, amazing now for musicians. I mean, the fact that someone could be on the other side of the world and listen to your music on the radio, you know, is just mm-hmm. fantastic. It's definitely the way the technology's going, but also as far as Europe being as big a place as it is, but also America's, I don't know if it's exactly what it is, but it's just as big as in Europe put together, if not bigger. So wherever you go, you know, you're just playing to different styles, different sort of, you know, in different areas and different cultures and different people, and the word just spreads so much quicker. And obviously, without, you know, that we don't have the language barrier, so everything's, you know, the same sort of thing. I terribly miss Europe, and I love touring in Europe, and I can't wait to visit Germany, even though they did beat us 4-1 in the World Cup, but we won't go there. But then, you know, I couldn't lose. I'm an Englishman with a surname Weimar, so I, you know, it was okay. It's one of those things, I get away with it. But you know, it's really you know, about the just about, you know, just being in the hub, and you know, quite frankly, I think Los Angeles is the hub of the smooth jazz genre. Although, you know, I see it now, it's spreading out. A lot of the artists were based in Los Angeles, and a few of my friends have now moved back to different areas in the country. So we'll see, but I think it's still a format that there is definitely a fan base out there worldwide, and I think thanks to people like yourself that, you know, they're putting out these sort of shows on the internet now, that it's bringing everyone a lot closer together. And I think if we can get to the point where we are invited to go and play in Europe, I'm sure that everyone will jump at the chance.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I read how you got the name Shilt's. Would you please share that story?
You sure?
Yes.
all right. Well, I'll do the clean version, but it was, you know, again, Europeans are, we're very passionate about our soccer, our football, and I was on tour with Lulu in 1990, and it was the World Cup finals, and England were playing Italy in the third place for the World Cup finals, and Peter Shilton, who was the England goalkeeper at the time, and he's obviously his nickname Shilt's, and he let in this goal that just, you know, should have never happened. It just trickled through his fingers, and he just made a mistake, unfortunately, and the goal went in, and we were at the end of a tour. We were watching on a big screen backstage, and we'd all had a few one too many, you know, refreshments, and the passion took over, and I was just screaming, Shilt's, Shilt's, what have you done? Shilt's, oh, Shilt's, and it became like an anthem for the tour, and you know, musicians being who they are, they like to sort of have a laugh. And then for the rest of the sort of tour, every time I would go down the front to make my to do my featured solo, all the band would be shouting, "Schiltz, what are you doing? What have you done? Oh, Schiltz!" And it just stuck. It just stuck. So I thought, well, when I went to do the solo thing, and people would always say to me, "How do you pronounce your surname? Weimar? Is it Weimar? Weimar?" So I thought, oh well, let me just do something else, and I'll go with the nickname Schiltz. And of course, now people. my next album is going to be Schiltz, Don't Forget the L. So that's always a thing that we end up with now. But you know, anyway, so that's the long and short of it. But you know, one of those silly moments. But what are you going to do? It seems to fit.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Don't forget the L, though.
Don't forget the L.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go back to another song, unless, Mike, you have a question first.
Yeah,
no, not right now.
Okay, I'm going to play Back on the Hudson, and this is from his current CD, Jigsaw.
Jigsaw Life,
about this
yeah.
one. Mm-hmm. Jigsaw Life, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, this is Back on the Hudson.
Thank you.
Right. That was Back on the Hudson from the Jigsaw Life CD. Who was with you on that one?
Nate Phillips played some bass on there for me, and Randy Jacobs on guitar, and Bill Steinway was the keyboard player, and Bill's a very good friend of mine, and you know he's co-written quite a few tracks with me on a few of my albums, and he in fact was the keyboard player for like the last two or three years with Down to the Bone. So we built up a good friendship and a good working relationship, and everything else is all sort of the program drums and everything is and that extra keyboards and stuff was all done by myself in the studio. But it was a track that I originally wrote. I was booked to do one of the cruise ships, All Star Cruise with Brian Culberson Cruise, and they asked me if I would perform a song with Brian, and we sort of looked through each other's repertoire at the time and wasn't too sure about what to come up with. So I wrote that tune specifically for that event, and Brian liked it. So we performed that together on the cruise, and it went down well. But at the time, it didn't have a title. So, but then the next time I performed it, I was in New York on the Hudson on the Spirit Cruise, performing, and it just occurred to me just to call it that, Back on the Hudson. So that was how it got his title as well.
Okay.
Now, Shiv, in addition to writing your music, have you produced for any other artists?
I haven't at the moment, although that's a box that I'd like to start to sort of tick off. So any offers out there from anybody listening, if they want an album produced, then yeah, give me a call. But you know, it's definitely something. Now I've built up a library of my own material, and I think I've not done a bad job. So it's definitely something that I, as I say, would like to tick off the list. But as of yet, I haven't. No.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Warner has posted a couple of web radios in the chat room, Eurosmith Jazz and Groove FM, and they're on Facebook as well. So, if you have not talked to them or hit them up about playing some of your music on their web radio, that would be a good way to go there. And I will definitely be adding your music to my playlist as well.
Well, thank you. And I'll, as soon as the new album's finished, I'll be posting some stuff up, samples and that for people to go and download and listen to. There'll be some samples up there for them to get a taste of what's coming. And as I said, I'm mixing it now. I'm in the studio at the moment trying to finish the last couple of mixes. So it's coming together.
Well, can you give us a little taste of what you're mixing?
Well, I can. You can't judge it by the sound because obviously it's coming down the phone. But let me just see what we've got on here. This one is called Uncontainable. So let's have a listen. I hope that wasn't too awful to listen to down the phone line, but that's one of the things.
Oh, nice and clear. That was nice and clear.
Yeah.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
All right, that's called Uncontainable. All right, well, we look forward to that and definitely having you back on with the online listening party for Going Underground is the name of the new CD that he's working on. So definitely we'll have you back for that.
Well, that's great. I look forward to it.
All right, so where are you headed now? Are you... got any gigs coming up?
Yes, I've in fact, yeah. This next coming week is quite busy. On Thursday, I shall be in Brantford, Connecticut. That's the 19th. I think it's Thursday or Friday. Well, anyway, I'm useless with dates, but I've got Brantford, Connecticut, and then the following evening is the the Arch Street Tavern in Hartford, mm-hmm. Connecticut, and then the following week I'm in Long Island. And in fact, bear with me 2 seconds, I'll be able to bring up the dates properly so I don't embarrass myself and give out the wrong information. But but my dates are on my website at shiltsmusic.com. So that's another place that people can go and look. But yeah, so I've got the 19th is Branford, Connecticut. The 21st is, as I said, the Art Street Tavern in Hartford, Connecticut. Branford, incidentally, is a free concert. And then the 22nd is Laurel Lake Vineyards in Laurel, which is Long Island, New York, and that's a free concert also. And then on the 24th, I shall be at the Great Neck Plaza in Long Island, New York, and again, that's a free concert.
Yeah.
So it's there's a lot of free music out there this next coming week. And then into September, I'm going to be in Charleston, South Carolina, along with Spyro Gyre and Huge Groove at the Low Country Jazz Fest. And then the Ramshead Tavern in Annapolis with myself and Matt Marshak, who's a great artist, very talented mm-hmm. young man, great guitar player, and just an all round good bloke. And then off to Germany, as I say, on the 25th. So it's quite good. But I've got shows throughout the year, sort of going into October, November, and December. So and also, already in for next year now. So it's coming together.
Yeah. And I'll be seeing you at the Ramshead Tavern gig in September with Matt. So I'll be there for that one.
Splendid. Oh, well, I look forward to seeing you, Mike. We'll be able to have a proper chat and possibly a beverage or two, dear boy.
Yeah, definitely. And the one in North Carolina, South Carolina, that's the Jazz Diva event, the Low Country. That'll be her second annual Low Country Jazz Festival down there in South Carolina.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that one. And as I say, with Huge Groove and Spyro Gyre on that. So lots of good music that day. Spyro Gyre is still one of my favorite bands.
All right. Well, I have a couple of people in the chat room wanting to know. Cynthia wants to know if you're coming to Kansas City or the Midwest, and Jazzy Chick wants to know if you're coming to Denver.
Kansas City. That's not on the list at the moment. And Denver, I was there a couple of months ago with Mark and at the Soil Dove Underground.
Yeah.
So I was there a couple of months ago. But at the moment, no plans to visit those areas in the very near future. But absolutely, I'll be definitely going back there at some point, and possibly Kansas is another one that's on the list. So if these people do know any promoters or anything, then they need to push and try and help me get my name out there, and that they can contact Steve.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. You can also go to his website, shiltsmusic.com, and see the complete list of his touring dates. You can also the re-releasing of his first CD, See What Happens, will be a digital download on iTunes. And that will be happening fairly soon, so you can get that music as well. And we look forward to the new CD going underground next month. So thank you so much, Shiltz, for joining us.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Terry, and also nice to talk to you as well, Mike.
Yes, same here.
All right, you have a great day, and we look forward to the new CD next month and having you back on for an online listening party.
Well, I look forward to it very much, and and thanks to all your listeners for joining us and supporting the music.
Yes, definitely. Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Say hello to those beautiful children, and have a great day.
I will. I'm just going to go and make them some lunch now and then take them up the pool for a swim.
Oh, okay.
I
should hope.
I need to go do with you guys.
Yeah, there you go.
Sounds like fun. All right. Well, thank you again.
It's my pleasure.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Shiltz. His new CD, Going Underground, will be released on September 14th, keeping our fingers crossed for that one. But you can pick up his other music on his website, shiltzmusic.com, as well. See What Happens, I played Your Place or Mine from that. Jigsaw Life, I played Back on the Hudson. And from the Head Bopping CD, I played Look What's Happened. some good music from Schiltz, and thanks again for joining us. So, Mike, up next we have guitarist Patrick Yandel. He will be on in about 5 minutes. So I'll share my weekend with you all. First of all, Friday night I went to see Brian Culberson, and, of course, it was an awesome concert. His parents were there, which was cool to see them there. You know, his father retired this year. So it was cool to see them there sitting in the audience. And he's added two more songs from the CD, Forever and That's Life. So he performed those as well. And the young lady that had the pleasure of going on stage with him, her name is Patricia. I did not get a video of her on stage with him, but I did get a video of her and Brian after at the CD signing table. So I have pictures and videos that I will post after today's show. I also went to a jazz fest here yesterday in Mount Charleston. It was the first annual Mount Charleston Green Jazz Festival, and it was nice. It was really nice, There weren't very many people there, and we heard a lot about there was not a lot of promotion with it. But other than that, it was really, really nice. It was a 3-day event. Friday was mostly local artists, and Saturday, yesterday, I went up with Lynn Briggs and Pamela Black. Shout out to Lynn and Pamela. Picked them both up. We went and had breakfast, and then after that, drove up the mountain, and the festival was held at a lodge, the Mount Charleston Lodge, and the setup was the tables were set up in the parking lot. So there's like a upper and lower level parking lot, and the VIP section was in the lower level, and the rest of the tables were in the upper level. Between the parking lot and the lodge, there's a little pond. And they had like ducks swimming in the pond. It was really, they were really cute. And the stage was set up right outside of the lodge. And I'm thinking that was the area where they normally would have tables so their guests can come out and sit outside and eat their meals or whatever in that area. So that's where the stage was set up. The overall setup was okay. It's just, just wasn't enough people there. But the artist that performed yesterday, Lillian McMorris, she opened the festival, and then Adrian Burst, he performed, and he is a local artist. He plays saxophone, and yesterday was his 21st birthday. So he turned 21 yesterday and performed at his first jazz festival. So I have a video. I interviewed him, so I have a video of that. Richard Turner and Chemistry performed. Chemistry said that they used to play with Eric Darius, and they do not have they did not have a saxophone player, so they asked Adrian to step in and sit in with them and play one of Eric's songs. So that was cool. Phil Flowers, he is a singer that performs here in the lounges on the Strip. He was also impressed with Adrian, and he asked Adrian to go on a couple of shows with him. So yesterday was a good day for Adrian. Lyle Tizer, Karen Briggs, and Althea Renee were also there, and Impromptu ended it. Closed out the festival. And let me tell you, they did a great job. We were partying. We had a Soul Train line going. We did the electric slide. I got a video of that. Impromptu closed it out. They did a great, great job. I did a little interview video with them afterwards with Shawnee Mack and Johnny B. So it was really nice. I enjoyed, had a great time there yesterday. And hopefully they will come back next year. I'm really hoping it won't be the last time. It's a great venue. It really is a good venue for a jazz fest. The problem is it's not a developed area, so there's no shopping malls. There's no hotels. There's no restaurants. There's nothing else in the area because it's in the mountain, and the only place is just that lodge there. So if a developer will come in and develop the area, it could really be a nice resort getaway spot. But again, it was called the Mount Charleston Green Jazz Festival, and hopefully they will come back next year and bring in some more artists and have a better attendance.
And
that
was
really nice.
This was the first event they've ever did?
It's the first one that they've done. It was put on by Brother Love Productions and hosted by Kason Travel and Tours. And, yeah, it was their first one. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, it will be the last, and, you know, they learn from this one and apply all of that to the next one and have a better turnout for sure. But I tell you, all of the artists, you know, they performed like they were performing to a full house. They really gave it their all, and it was nice. It was really nice. So we VIP, thanks to Lynn, we got VIP tickets, Pamela and I, and we were able to, you know, that came with dinner, and we were able to hang out with the artists and chat with the artists. But then everybody was, because it was such a small area. They were there staying at the lodge, and, you know, they were hanging out in the bar with the rest of us. So really it was a pretty good opportunity to meet the artists and talk to them and get autographs and stuff. So
I must say that's a great thing, that even though this was the first one, it didn't turn out. You know, we're going to need more promoters to start doing things like this, and just to take a chance and to do these type events to kind of keep Smooth Jazz going. You know, we know that there's a lack of radio stations and things like that, but I think that with a collective group of people coming together and putting these little small shows together in certain areas, we can kind of keep things going and get some gigs for some of these lesser-known artists to get on, you know.
Right, yeah. So it was a good festival, and like I said, hopefully it won't be the last, and they've learned from this one, and will apply it to next year's, and it will be a great, great event. I believe we have our next artist on the line. Patrick, is that you?
Yeah, that is. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Well, oh, you're welcome. Let me introduce. We talked to Patrick before when his CD, A New Day, was released, and he has a new CD called The Window, and so we wanted him to come back on and talk about this new CD. And Patrick, excuse me, my first question to you is the CD cover. Where was this picture taken?
It was at a place in San Diego. It's like a kind of a retreat, and a friend of mine has some friends there, so it's like a private thing nobody goes to, so we had to get special permission to go up there and take it, so it was kind of nice.
I like this. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Overlooking the city. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I like that. And congratulations. Yeah, you are now on Intervision Records and Entertainment, so congratulations.
Thank you. I'm glad to be there. I've known quite a few of those guys on there for a lot of years. We've all been involved in this genre for a lot of years, so it's nice to be with these guys.
How did this deal come about? How you know, you wound up signing with them?
Well, one of the people involved with the label, he actually heads the radio promotions. His name is Adam Leibovitz, and he heads ASL Radio Promotion. He's actually involved with the label, and so we keep in touch. He actually ran radio promotion for my A New Day release last year, and he's done other releases of mine, quite a few of them over the years. And so we were just talking one day, and I happened to say, I'm kind of looking for a label to help out with this record. And he said, why didn't you tell me before about, you know, that you were thinking about a label? He said, I always thought you were kind of everything involved with your music was all taken care of by you. And I said, well, I've got a lot of things going on, so I would like some help with this. And he said, well, what would you think about running with Intervision? And I said, well, let me get back to you on it. So I went and checked out Intervision online, and I found out a lot of guys I've played with over the years, like Will Donato and Greg Vale, who used to be with Kilauea, and quite a few other guys that I've run into over the years or played with were on that label. So, you know, it was a natural fit for me.
Okay. And excuse my manners, but let me introduce to you my co-host, Mike Reynolds.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, definitely good to talk to you again. Yeah, really.
My apologies. I always forget to do that. It seems like when we have a two-hour show, I always forget to introduce Mike the second hour.
Oh.
That's not on purpose, but I don't know. It just happens.
Yeah.
Okay,
poor
so
guy.
Let's talk about
poor
this.
Guy.
Oh, no. No poor guy. Football season has started, and I'm going to be like the poor one here.
Oh, yeah. Football season has started. Yeah.
Definitely. Okay, so tell us about the CD, The Window.
I think the last time we talked, I let you know I work for quite a few music libraries, so I'm working on new music every day, and quite a few of the tracks that I produced over the past 8 months, you know, I kept thinking, well, that'd be a nice radio cut, or that would be a nice radio cut. That's usually how my albums kind of come about. I choose between 20 and 30 songs for an album, and then try to pick the best ones or ones I think sound very commercial and have a little heart to them also. So that's how The Window kind of came about. The Window, the actual title came about just kind of something where you're looking in at somebody's life or thoughts, and hopefully that I wrote tunes in that theme. You know what I mean? I just try to stay with that theme about kind of looking in and seeing how what people are thinking.
Okay. All right. And I would like to read something that Jonathan Woodran said about you and your music. He says that the artist brings a fiery edge, intense funk grooves, and taste of cool tropicality and retro jazz soul to the self-produced 12-track collection that, true to his title, offers a unique window to Yandel's ever evolving musical soul.
Yeah, and then he kind of hit it on the head right there for me. That's why I was hoping somebody would get out of that. I grew up with so many different styles of music growing up in Michigan, and hopefully the R&B side came out, a little bit of the rock side came out, you know, the jazz side. There's a lot of great jazz players came out of Michigan, so quite a few different flavors on this album. Like and most of my albums are, they have quite a few different flavors on them, so hopefully somebody can find something in there to latch on to, and that's what I hope for every album.
Well, let's take a listen to some of this music. Your first single on this one is Tower of Soul. Tell me about this.
I tried to have a little bit of Tower. I grew up listening to a lot of Tower Power, and I tried to have a little bit of their flavor in there, and definitely a soulful tune to me, and it's got a great funk rhythm to it, and the little drum break in there is definitely a Tower of Power thing. So, and right now it's doing pretty well. It's on the most added list for radio right now, so hopefully it'll keep moving up the charts.
Okay, and yes, this is described as a funky R&B tune. This is called Tower of Soul from Patrick Yandel's The Window CD. All right, that's the first single being released on The Window. That is called Tower of Soul. Who is your band, Patrick?
For live performances?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost always Kevin Flournoy on keys. He tours with everybody's with the Pointer Sisters all over the world, and he's played with Boney James and Kirk Whalum, but he's trying to stay in San Diego most of the time, which is good for me because he usually hits with me on most of my jazz festivals and jazz concerts. On bass is Nathan Brown. He used to be with Scott Wilkie, and he tours once in a while with a blues guitarist, Coco Montoya. And like I said, he's played with a lot of different people too, everyone from Earl Klug to just about everybody out of the Midwest. And he's also a Michigan guy like me. And on drums is also another Michigan guy, Tony Lee, and he's played drums with Matt Marshak and a whole bunch of different artists. He's just been with a lot of guys, but he's been my drummer for like the past 20 years. We came out to San Diego together quite a few years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
I heard you open up for Boney James at Humphreys. It was on the 4th, and I heard you killed it out there.
Yeah, it was a beautiful night, and it was kind of funny because in Boney's band, the bass player was Smitty Smith, and he actually played on one of my first national releases, Lasting Embrace, and it was good to hook up with some of those guys. We haven't seen him in quite a long time, and actually when we were setting up, they saw Kevin coming up, Flournoy, my keyboard player, coming in with me, and he's played with Boney, and he's even done some charts for Boney, and so it was kind of a nice reunion. Plus, the guitar player was from Michigan also, so three of us in my band are from Michigan, and so it was just a nice get-together for all of us.
I have a question for you from the chat room. Warner, who is in Germany, would like to know, what do you consider your personal appeal of smooth jazz over the other genres you do?
What is my personal appeal for smooth jazz?
His question reads, his personal appeal of smooth jazz over other genres that you also do.
Oh, you must know that I do I've had a rock album come out and a couple blues albums.
Mm-hmm.
To me, with smooth jazz, when I got into it, it was called contemporary jazz. And and the attraction to me was that I could do a lot of, all my albums, have different flavors on them. There's a little bit of blues to them, a little bit of R&B, sometimes a little bit of rock side to them. And that was my appeal to this genre in the first place. It was the ability to do instrumental music, but have all these different kind of flavors in there, from Latin and, real heavy jazz to a little bit of fusion jazz, R&B, blues, everything. It just seemed to me it was great because I could squeeze everything I like to play into one album, and compose that way for it.
Okay. We are talking to guitarist Patrick Yandel. He has a brand new CD called The Window. If you would like to speak to Patrick, please call in at 646-716-5485. And we're also taking questions from the chat room. One of the songs that I like on the CD is You and I. And I especially like this song because of the steel drums or pans, whatever they're called. But I think that adds a nice touch to it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we tried to put a little bit of everything, flavors I've listened to since I was a kid, in the songs. And that just seemed to fit in that particular song.
Well, I'm going to play that next. This is You and I.
Thank you.
Okay, that was You and I from the Window CD. I like that song. This is a pretty good CD. I enjoyed listening to this.
Oh, mm-hmm. Thank you, dear. Very nice.
Yeah.
Now, Patrick, I wanted to ask you, you've built a very, very huge following on Reverb Nation, Facebook, mm-hmm. and Twitter, and the social networking thing. Now, how are you going to use this to really get your music out? Because a lot of people on the West Coast, they really, everybody knows about you, you know, being from San Diego, and, you know, you do your thing at Humphreys and everything. But how are you going to try to build your audience to kind of reach over to that East Coast and things like that?
I have an agent out here who I let know that I'm willing to go out to some of the festivals out east. So she's been in contact with some of the festivals that are held out, like Berks Fest and things like that. And we really like to come out there. Some of the stations that are starting to pick up even the new single, we're talking to about some of the festivals out there. So I'd love to come back here to the East Coast and play. I've got family back there and quite a few people that follow me on Reverb Nation are from back on the East Coast. So hopefully, you know, like you said, the Reverb Nation and the Facebook music page, those people on the East Coast, they've all said, well, you know, why don't you come back here and do some of our festival? Well, I'd love to. You know, we just need to get in touch with the right people and get those booked.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I would love to see you here, you know, in Las Vegas or as well.
Yeah, I just got back from Reno playing for the radio station out there, and I used to come to Lake Las Vegas and do the outdoor jazz venue out there. So hopefully there's a couple other contacts that we've been talking to about bringing me back to Vegas. I'd love playing there, I especially the concert by Lake Las Vegas. It's just beautiful there.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to come back.
Mm-hmm. Now, I should say that because Cynthia in the chat room is asking if the CD is available on iTunes, Cynthia, the CD will be available on September 7th.
Yeah, it might come out a little bit earlier than that. Like I said, the single's starting to get so much play. The radio, the record company's trying to push up the availability date, so it's going to, you know, so it gets on iTunes and Amazon as early as possible.
Oh, good, good. Good, okay. All right, so let's listen to another song because the CD does have a variety of, as you say, flavors to it. And one of the songs, Margaritas at Sunset, has like an island funk to it. So tell me about this one.
Yeah, it's just it's actually a drink my wife's pretty good at making at. And we were, you know, just over in Hawaii last year and just when we got back, I wrote that tune because it was just with the drinks on the beach and everything, just relaxing, taking some time off of everything for a week and a half. Just I came back with that kind of melody and flavor in mind, just that island flavor, like you said, especially with the steel drums in there and everything. So with the margaritas and everything, it just kind of came together for that song.
All right. And I have a big shout-out to give you from your huge fans, Lisa and Ron.
Oh, the great people. Great people. I think they're up in Washington, actually, or they're up in northern USA. So great folks.
All right. Well, they are in the chat room and wanted me to give you that shout-out. All right. This
tell
is
them I
Margarita.
Said hi.
All right. They can hear you.
Oh, hello, Lisa. Hello, Ron.
All right, Margaritas at Sunset.
Thank you.
That was called Margaritas at Sunset from Patrick Yandel's new CD, The Window. And Patrick Joe in the chat room says the title goes perfect with the music, and he feels like he's on the beach.
Oh, great. That's what I was going for.
Margaritas or martinis, either one works for me.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
So is
Mike back east?
I'm in the Maryland area. I'm in the D.C. Maryland area.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I don't have the great weather that you guys have out there. So
yeah, I've got a brother that lives in Crownsville out there. Yeah, he's been there like quite a few years. I go out and visit him once in a while. It's beautiful out there, though. Yeah.
Mm. So now, you being with Intervision Records, has this worked out for you? Because I remember you posting on Facebook that you thought long and hard about it before deciding to make the decision to sign on. So is it, you know, working out for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like I said, you know, just knowing the artists that were on there, and we play together once in a while, and just knowing these guys for so many years that are involved with the label, it's going great. I mean, we just started in August on this project, so and already, like I said, with the single just jumping out there so quickly with Adam working it, it's just been really nice.
Now that you know the other two genre albums just released, you released those two after A New Day, is that correct?
Yes, and they were done, like I said, it was I worked for these music libraries, and sometimes, you know, I come from a rock background, and with blues in there too, and a bunch of the songs I was producing for these libraries, just, they all fit together nicely for these, you know, for a blues album. The other one was actually a kind of a hard rock instrumental. I'm kind of a Joe Satriani kind of album, so... And they got great reviews. I just did a limited release on them on my own label and put them out there, and they both did pretty well and ended up being used for you know, backgrounds for different kind of things like the Weather Channel and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Also, the Weather Channel to War Inc., which was a 2008 film starring John Cusack, Marissa Tomei, and Hilary Duff, and that featured your song "Who's the Bossa."
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, it was
nice.
Then, like I said, you know, these libraries, when they can get them into movies and stuff like that, some of the ones I worked for, they've turned up some pretty great places for me. So helps out and keeps me making more music. So.
And it also says here that you produce and are recorded for NBC KUSI 51.
Yeah, they needed, you know, I've done background music for them, and I've performed on their morning news station, and just that kind of thing where they've needed some background music, and quite a few different stations here in San Diego have used my music for different things. So, like I said, the more places it can get placed, the better for me.
Okay. Now, would you share the story about the first instrument that you were playing, and then you switched over to guitar? Would you share that story, why you switched over?
Sure. I started playing trumpet in probably fourth grade, and it was fun, and you could do a few things, but it just seemed like, I don't know, I started getting interested in girls probably fourth, fifth grade, and it seemed like they were always bringing in pictures of different guitar players that were in bands and stuff. So I kind of switched over to guitar, and actually in the beginning of sixth grade, I broke my hip and I went in the hospital, and my dad, back then you didn't just go in and come out quickly. I was in for 3 months. My dad, who is a musician, I should say, brought me in a guitar, and I just gravitated towards it and stuck with it. And by the eighth grade, I was playing in clubs around Michigan, so it worked out great for me.
In eighth grade, you were playing in clubs?
Yeah, just at the end of my eighth grade year, some older guys that had a band came and saw me play, and I didn't really know what they were talking about. How would you like to come play with us? And actually, it was for being at the end of eighth grade, I was making great money for, you know, just before I started going to high school, and I kept playing in with different bands in high school around clubs. Some of these clubs were actually, you had to be over 18, it was back then, but they put a hat on me, and I kind of grew a mustache. And on breaks, between sets, I would go outside and wouldn't be able to hang in some of those clubs and try to look older.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just
mm-hmm.
That was the kind of the beginning of my music career.
Okay. All right. All right. I want to play some more music from the CD. I'm going to let you pick the next song.
Could you play the track one for me, To the Left? You know, it's funny. Some of the other program directors love the single, and they said if we had to pick another one for you, they would pick this track one. It's called To the
okay.
Left.
Okay. All right. To the Left it is. That was To the Left. That's from Patrick Gandil's The Window CD. And I was sitting here debating whether or not to tell you this, Patrick, but honestly, when I saw the title of this song, I thought it was the cover of Beyonce's To the Left.
Wow. Oh, I should have thought about that. I should know that too, because my son loves that song and he's got it on his iPod and he plays it, so I should know that one.
I like that one. I like that one. Very nice. Now, let me go back just a minute to your playing in the club. How old were you?
Jeez, I think I was 13,
in eighth grade.
If that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to figure out, we're all oldies here, so we're trying to figure out how old we were going into the seventh grade. And I said I was probably 13 going into the seventh grade and thinking age 14 and 15 was probably right for the eighth grade. So.
Yeah. It was at the end of eighth grade, so I was probably 13. And like I said, it was my mom wasn't really very happy about it, but, you know, the first week I brought home my own money and she didn't have to worry about me money-wise anymore. She never really talked about it anymore. And, I was playing like Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, late nights, these clubs. So, and as long as I kept my grades up, she said I could do it. And I kept them up enough to keep her happy. So.
Aw, good, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Mike, did you have a question?
No, not right now, no. Listen, and enjoying the music, and I had that same thought as well, but I'm not going to, I wasn't going to say it, but to the left. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Oh, this is a Beyonce cover. Yeah, but I like it. It's not, but it's still good. It's still good.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
I want to play Jersey Shore. Now, this has an R&B acid jazz feel to it. Tell me about this one.
Yeah, it's, I did some recording. I was actually at Tony Bennett's studio in Jersey for one of my records. I was on a New York label called Apria and spent probably a week over there in Jersey, at the studio, Tony Bennett's studio, recording over there. And I got a chance to drive around, look at parts of Jersey that I've never seen before. And there's just beautiful areas, you know, some of the water areas around there are just beautiful. So, sat down one day and I was thinking about it. I just happened to have it in my mind and I was working on a new song, new track. And I started to think about it a lot. And this is the song that came out of that, those meditations, I would have to say.
Okay. This is called Jersey Shore. Thank you. All right, there you go. That was Jersey Shore, again, from Patrick Yandel's brand new CD, The Window, scheduled to be released on September 7th, but hopefully will be released sooner. I have a question for you. Ron and Lisa are saying that they like, the question. They like your version of People Get Ready, but they don't know what the name of the CD is. Do you know? Can you tell her that?
Yeah, it's on New York Blues, and it's one of the it's a definitely a more bluesy release than my smooth jazz stuff. It's and it was probably about 4 years ago I released that one. But it's New York Blues.
Okay, and can they get that on your website?
They can get it iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, and she's got my email. She can let me know if she can't find it. I'll get it to her.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a great she's a great supporter of mine and smooth jazz in general. She goes to a ton of shows. They both go to a ton of shows, and you know, I wish we had more people like them supporting this genre, because we wouldn't be losing stations.
Isn't that the truth? All right, okay. I have to play Hope for Haiti before I let you go. I have to play this song.
Okay.
Tell me about this one. Yeah, tell me about this one.
It's when everything was going on in Haiti, and I don't know, it hit, you know, you read about it, and you read the articles about it, and it just hit me. My son does some charity work, and they were doing some benefits, putting together care packages and everything for over there, and, you know, it was just that time, and it's a very sad time over there, and I kind of captured the mood. It's a little bluesier than some of the other tracks, and that's what I was aiming for this song.
Okay, this is Hope for Haiti. Thank you. You are working that guitar. I love that song.
Oh, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Love that. Love that. All right. So tell us where you're going to be. Where are you headed next?
I'll be at my old stomp, my constant stomping ground, Humphreys, here on the 29th of this month, the Sunday night KISM Jazz nights over there, and I'll be with my band, Kevin Flournoy and Nate Brown and Tony Lee. We'll be up there thumping it out for everybody. And the CD release party is actually going to be there, but not until October when we got everything rolling for the album. And that's probably the next two big ones I have. They're working on Catalina Island for me and quite a few other places. So hopefully the agents all come through with all the stuff that's rolling around there.
Oh, good, good. Okay, I'm going to have to drive up to Humphreys and come see you in October.
Oh, you better let me know if you're coming in. I'll have you on the guest list and have them deck you out. You guys deserve it for having a show like this and, you know, really promoting this genre. It needs all the help it can get, and I appreciate you guys.
Oh, I'm ready for a road trip, so that might work. That just might
all
work.
All right, it'd be great.
Yeah, definitely.
You
well,
let
thank
me know.
You so much, Patrick. I definitely will. I definitely will. Thank you again for coming on. Patrick's new CD is called The Window. It is scheduled to be released on September 7th, but hopefully will be released sooner. You can pick it up on his website and all of the other familiar places, Amazon.com, iTunes, and all that as well. And definitely go to his website. What is your website?
The Reverb Nation is the one I use in most nowadays, and it's www.reverbnation.com/Patrick Yandel.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And we look forward to seeing you on the road.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. You have a great day.
You take care, you guys.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. All right, guitarist Patrick Yandel and saxophonist Shields, thanks again for joining us today and hanging out with us. Those of you in the chat room, Boney Fan Carol, Cheryl B, Cynthia BX, Cynthia G, all of the guests, I'm Sultry 2, Jazzy Chick, welcome for the first time. Joe in Germany, welcome. Liza, welcome. Thank you all for joining us today and tuning in. Mike, do you have anything to add?
No, nothing to add. Just you guys tune in tomorrow. Who is tomorrow night? We have Naturally Set
tomorrow night.
On. Yes. Yes, got the rescheduled show from yesterday. So.
Yes, definitely. And I want to ask you real quick about when officially does the football season start?
Oh my goodness! Officially, I'm not even keeping up on a date. I've been so worried about getting my stuff together for my fantasy football league, but
oh,
I don't know the exact date, but right now we're in the second week of preseason, so it's coming up. So football is coming up. Yes. Finally here. Mm-hmm. I'm glad.
Oh, Lord. Now, are you gonna bring back Talking Sports with Mike Reynolds?
I don't know, because I need somebody on it with me, but I've been talking to a couple of friends, but they're not really trying to do it, so I may just keep it down for a while, because I'm so into what we're doing and going to. I've been traveling so much to all these different jazz fests and meeting so many people. You know, I've been watching ESPN on the road now.
Okay, ESPN on the road. All right. All right, well, tune in tomorrow again for our rescheduled show with Naturally 7. That'll be 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern on tomorrow night. And so we look forward to that. So I am going to close with another
And basically, and we got to also say, too, Terry, I mean, we've been so listening to these guys for a while now. If you guys have never heard of Naturally 7 or never, oh, my God, they're awesome. These guys are seven guys who play no instruments. The only instrument is their mouths, and they call it vocal play. And these cats, I mean, they are off the hook. I mean, me and Trey are like, wow, these guys are great. So you guys have to tune for this one. Have to.
Yes, definitely tune in tomorrow night for that. Because you will not believe what you're going to hear. You're going to think that the music you're hearing is instruments, but it's actually their voices. It's actually their voices. And you can go to YouTube and search them, Naturally 7, the number 7, and look at some of their videos, and you'll see what we're talking about, especially the video Feel It in the Air Tonight. Look for that one.
Yes, and those guys are big overseas, too. Those guys are very big overseas.
Yeah. And this is why we had to reschedule them, because their schedule is literally, I mean, they're literally packed every day with something, and they travel a lot overseas, and they're just, their schedule is just so heavy, and so this is why we ended up having to reschedule them for tomorrow night. So definitely tune in for that, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you tomorrow. This is La Jolla from Patrick Yandel's The Window. Until then, keep it smooth.